Good morning. Before we begin, I just want to let you know how sorry I am for the loss that this church experienced. My daughter Carolyn, who just graduated from high school, she's helped with your Vacation Bible School. This will be her third year in a row. She was here, not for the October 6th message, but some time ago when Rob and his family were here, and it impacted her in such a tremendous way. That she had one of those mugs that said Quebec on it, and she would pray for the people of Quebec often. It's actually one of the things that she's interested in doing in the future, right? She heads off to college to become a music teacher. She wants to either work right over the river in the city of Newburgh as a music teacher, or she wants to be a missionary in Quebec. So I just wanted to share that with you, just to, maybe as a comfort for you to recognize the legacy that Rob has left, even to young people that he met just a handful of times. So our hearts break for you, and we at Calvary Baptist will be praying for you for sure. But I do want to start by wishing dads a happy Father's Day, and not just dads, but dads-to-be. I hope you know what's coming your way. I don't think you'll be fully prepared for it, but it's coming nonetheless. To grandfathers, we thank you so much for the legacy that you have left in leading your family well. Your job is not done. Don't think it's over. Now are the good times. Now are the times where you get to play with the kids, then you just get to send them home. Right? And to go home with their families. But we thank you so much. Your work is so critical, Dad. It is often a thankless job. It is exhausting on many levels, but it is vital. And I encourage you, I implore you to keep that work going, to continue the work that God has called you to do, that He is going to be the one to empower and strengthen you to do the work that He's called you to do. But I want to let you know that your work is critical, and I appreciate you so much. My message today is obviously for everyone, but since it's Father's Day, dads, I'm coming for you in certain portions of the message, so I want you to be prepared for that. I don't know how long it takes to make a tradition, but this is the second year in a row that I've been here for Father's Day, so I guess it's officially a tradition now. But let's dive in here. One of the greatest gifts that I believe that I have received from the Lord is my birth order position in my family. And that may sound really weird. Let me explain that. Especially when I tell you that I am the third in a line of brothers. I'm the youngest brother in the family. That is usually not a coveted position. You are the weakest. You are the slowest, and not just slowest physically, but mentally you're the slowest. You're the last to get the punchline of the joke. You're the last to figure out what's going on, and usually the older brothers let you know all about it. If they can beat you down, they're going to do it. It's not a position that people usually want, but I praise God for it. And the reason why I praise God is because I am a visual learner. If I have to put together a piece of furniture from IKEA or something, I am not even reading the captions. I am looking at the diagram and following that completely. And I had a front row seat to watch my older brothers live out their lives. When things went well for them and they did what they were supposed to do and they were rewarded for their behavior, I was able to see that that is something that I should try to do as well. And then inevitably, as with all of us, when they did not do something that they were supposed to do, and things did not go in a very positive direction for them, I had a front row seat to see what not to do and how not to live my life. It is so important and it is so great to be able to learn from those from the past. And I'm thankful for my brothers for living out their lives in front of me so that I could get that teaching from them. And perhaps you've had some experience with that also. Maybe you've seen someone in your life, whether it's even a coworker or a neighbor or a family member, live out their lives and you have learned something from their life. But today, regardless of your birth order position or whether or not you even have brothers or sisters, we are going to look into the history of the Word of God and we are going to learn from those who have walked on this earth before us. Now, many of the conversations that I have with some Christians, they struggle. They struggle with reading certain portions of the Old Testament. They don't feel like they can connect well with it, and it's a hard thing for them to do, especially in the book that we're going to read today, 2 Chronicles. I doubt there's a lot of Father's Day messages that come from the book of 2 Chronicles, but today it's going to make sense. But I understand why people feel disconnected, because we are so far removed from that culture that the way that the people lived their lives back then is so different from the way that we live today. But there are so many lessons and so many takeaways that we can earn, that we can glean from the king that we're going to read about today. Lessons that we can absolutely use in our modern time period. But my hope is that today we are going to be thankful for the inspired word of God given to us through the power of the Holy Spirit that transcends time, that transcends cultures, that transcends generations, and that we will be reminded of what God wants us to learn about him and what we need to do to live a holy life that honors him. So today we're going to look at the life of a man named King Uzziah in 2 Chronicles chapter 26. Uzziah is the son of King Amaziah. There's a bunch of ayahs in this passage that we're going to have to get to know. But I want to read a little bit about what happened to Amaziah. It's important for us to see this and what happened before Uzziah takes the throne. So in 2 Chronicles chapter 25, starting in verse 2, it says that Amaziah did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, yet not with a whole heart. That he was committed partially to his relationship with God, but not completely. In 2 Chronicles chapter 25, verse 14 says this. It says, "And after Amaziah came from striking down the Edomites, he brought the gods of the men of Seir and set them up as his gods and worshipped them, making offerings to them." We see that Amaziah made a huge mistake in this. And in verse 27, it says that he completely turned away from the Lord and eventually was put to death by his own people. And that is when a 16-year-old Uzziah is put on the throne in the place that his father held before him. So if you didn't turn in your Bible already, I would encourage you to turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 26. I'm going to read all of the entire chapter. It's a lot. The person who's running the slides up there, they're going to have their fingers are going to be sore as they flip through all the slides. But I would encourage you to stand with me, please, as we read from the Word of God. It says, "And all the people of Judah took Uzziah, who was 16 years old, and made him king instead of his father Amaziah. He built Eloth and restored it to Judah after the king slept with his fathers. Uzziah was 16 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jechaliah of Jerusalem, and he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah had done. He set himself to seek God in the days of Zechariah, who instructed him in the fear of God, and as long as he sought the Lord, God made him prosper. He went out and made war against the Philistines and broke through the wall of Gath and the wall of Jabneh and the wall of Ashdod. He built cities in the territory of Ashdod and elsewhere among the Philistines. God helped him against the Philistines and against the Arabians and who lived in Gur Baal and against the Meunites. The Ammonites paid tribute to Uzziah, and his fame spread even as far as Egypt, for he became very strong. Moreover, Uzziah built towers in Jerusalem at the corner gate, at the valley gate, and at the angle, and he fortified them. He built towers in the wilderness and cut up many cisterns, for he had large herds, both in Shephelah and in the plain. And he had farmers and vine dressers in the hills and in the fertile lands, for he loved the soil. Moreover, Uzziah had many soldiers fit for war, in divisions according to the numbers in the muster made by Jael, the secretary, and Maaseiah, the officer, under the direction of Hananiah, one of the king's commanders. The whole army of the heads of the fathers' houses of mighty men of valor was 2,600. Under their command was an army of 307,500 who could make war with mighty power to help the king against the enemy. And Uzziah prepared for all the army shields, spears, helmets, coats of mail, bows, and stones for slinging. In Jerusalem he made machines invented by skillful men to be on the towers and the corners to shoot arrows with great stones. And his fame spread far, for he was marvelously helped till he was strong. But when he was strong, he grew proud to his destruction,
For he was unfaithful to the Lord his God and entered the temple to burn incense at the altar of incense. But Azariah the priest went in after him with 80 priests of the Lord who were men of valor. And they withstood King Uzziah and said to him, "It is not for you, Uzziah, to burn incense to the Lord, but for the priests, the sons of Aaron, who are consecrated to burn incense. Go out of the sanctuary, for you have done wrong, and it will bring you no honor from the Lord God." And Uzziah was angry. Now he had a censer in his hand to burn incense, and when he became angry with the priests, leprosy broke out on his forehead in the presence of the priests in the house of the Lord by the altar of incense. And Azariah, the chief priests, and the priests looked at him, and behold, he was leprous on his forehead, and they rushed him out quickly, and he himself hurried to go out because the Lord had struck him. And King Uzziah was a leper to that day of his death, and began, being a leper, lived in a separate house, for he was excluded from the house of the Lord. And Jotham, his son, was over the king's household, governing the people of the land. Now the rest of the acts of Uzziah, from the first to the last, Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz, wrote, "And Uzziah slept with his fathers, and they buried him with his fathers in the burial field that belonged to the kings, for they said, 'He is a leper.' And Jotham, his son, reigned in his place." Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for your word. Lord, we thank you for the power that is in it. Lord, we thank you that it has the power to pierce even into the hardest hearts. Lord, there is a message that you want us to learn today from a king who lived such a long time ago in a different time period, in a different location, in a different culture. But Lord, we thank you that the power of your Holy Spirit transcends all of that. We thank you that your word transcends all of it. We ask that you would help us to gain the lessons that you want us to learn today. We pray these things in your name. Amen. Please be seated. Now we could spend a large amount of time, and really the focus of this passage is on all the different things that King Uzziah was able to do during his rule, but that is not the primary focus this morning. That is not where I want us to spend our time. So we're going to hit the highlights so we understand the magnitude of what Uzziah was able to do, but our primary focus today is on the how. Not the what, but the how. First and foremost, military victories were a huge part of King Uzziah's accolades. He was able to secure victories against an enemy that these people had been battling for years, the dreaded Philistines. He wasn't able just to kind of hold them at bay. He was able to push them out of places that they had occupied and then to build cities in those locations. He was successful against other enemies like the Arabians and the Ammonites as well. Not only was Uzziah able to amass an army of 307,500 soldiers, but he accumulated the resources to equip them for battle. Could you imagine how hard that must have been during that time period? Where it was difficult to even find these resources, where you couldn't mass produce these helmets and these spears and these bows. But that's exactly what he was able to do, to prepare this army for battle. They were all heavily equipped. He erected catapults on the walls of Jerusalem. But one of the things that amazes me about King Uzziah is the versatility of his focus. I remember a day when I had one doctor, maybe two. Now you need a team of doctors to take care of you. You need a cardiologist, a gastroenterologist, a pulmonologist. If you have an issue, there is an ologist for you. When we brought our son Max home from Haiti, we were at Westchester Medical Center, and we would go outside into the hallway, and there would be just a circle of specialists who would all go one at a time. But Uzziah is not like our current medical system. He was not a one-dimensional king. And we see that clearly from this passage because it says that Uzziah loved the soil. He put cisterns to help take care of the livestock. He had an amazing agricultural workforce that took care of the land that God blessed him with. But now that we have a brief understanding of what Uzziah was able to do, let's focus on the how. How in the world was he able to do this? How was he not just able to fight off one difficult enemy, but many? How was he able to cultivate the land in such an amazing way, to have tremendous herds of animals with such success? And for that, we go back to verses 4 and 5, and I'd like to read it to you again. He says that he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah had done. He set himself to seek God in the days of Zechariah, who instructed him in the fear of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him prosper. So in the research that I've done in preparing to share this message with you this morning, I spent some time looking at one of the key words in that passage, which is the word seek, that he set himself to seek God. And in doing a little word study, I found that the Hebrew word for seek is actually the same word that is used in other places, but it gives us a visual picture, a wonderful visual picture of the effort that Uzziah put in to build a strong relationship with the Lord. And the word for seek in other places actually means to trample underfoot. And I know the buildup to that makes no sense whatsoever. How in the world does seek and trample underfoot connect with each other? But I'd like to do that through a quick illustration right now. I have a picture that they're going to put up on the screen. It's two pictures side by side. On the hikes that my family and I go on, usually there are markers on the trees. If you've ever been hiking before, sometimes they'll nail a little circle piece of metal and you're following the trail as it goes. Or they're going to, on the Appalachian Trail by us, we live right near the Appalachian Trail, they have these rectangles that are painted to the trees and they'll send you in either direction based on where the rectangles are pointed. But on one of the hikes that we go on, which is this is called Sterling Lake, which is probably about an hour from here, you can see that there are no markers that are necessary at all. That there's vegetation that is growing up on the sides that are higher than you, but you can easily follow the path. Why? Because it has been trampled on by thousands and thousands of feet walking the same path over and over again. I have another picture I want to show you just to make the same illustration. This is in the wintertime at my house. My daughter raises goats. My daughter Carolyn raises goats. And when the goats get up in the wintertime, they have the same routine every single day. They go out, they eat their grain, they eat their hay, and then they all walk the exact same path over to a tree by my neighbor's yard that provides some cover for them to be able to sit down. I'm not going outside and shoveling a pathway for goats. I don't have the time for that. But this pathway through the snow and through the ice, it was cold this past winter. This was hard, crunchy snow. This was not the slushy stuff. But these goats walked this path over and over again until they had created a well-worn path. And hopefully you're getting the picture that I'm trying to give you. In setting himself to seek God, Uzziah sought the Lord's wisdom, creating a well-worn path to the Lord. So one of the things that we have to ask ourselves this morning is, have we created a well-worn path to the Lord? Is that path something that we have traveled over and over again, that the road is clear and obvious? Or is the path rarely traveled? Is it rarely traveled so much that weeds have grown and obscured the view? Have you set yourself to seek God the way that young King Uzziah did? Is it the primary focus of your life, or are you too busy with other things? So again, one of the major lessons that we will see from Uzziah that transcends culture and time and generations is to set yourself to seek God. When you set yourself to do something, it is not a half-hearted effort. When you set yourself to do something, it is not something that you just do in your spare time. It is your primary focus. So again, all of us need to examine our primary focus this morning. Have we set ourselves to seek God? Since it's Father's Day, specifically to you, Dad, I want to encourage you to recognize that setting yourself to seek God is the most valuable thing that you can do for your family. It is more valuable than any possession that you could ever provide. More valuable than a new car, more valuable than a bigger home, more valuable than a promotion at work. When you set yourself, Dad, to seek God, your priorities will be in the right place. That you will slowly come to value the things that God values. You will learn to lead your family well with Him as the primary focus. For those young men who are here today, who someday will become a father, now is the time. Now is the time to build the foundation that you can stand on in the future. Now is the time to set yourself to seek the Lord, to develop those habits now. Do not wait. I work in a high school. I've been teaching as a high school teacher. This is my 24th year. There are 1,321 students in the high school where I teach. And I find it harder and harder every year to find young men who value their relationship with God and value godly character. So young men, I urge you to build that foundation now, to set yourself to seek the Lord wholeheartedly. I encourage you not to wait, but to take the time to do it now. Another part of King Uzziah's success, especially in the area of seeking God, was the counsel of this man named Zechariah. We don't know that much about Zechariah. We don't know that much about his history. But the passage says that he instructed the king in the fear of the Lord. And based on what we read, it sounds like the instruction that Zechariah provided had a huge impact on King Uzziah and pushing him in the right path to honor God. So I want to encourage you to think about the spiritual mentors that you have had in your own life. Those who have come alongside you and have taught you about the fear of the Lord and how to seek him well. The best spiritual mentors are not just ones who teach in words, but they teach in their actions as well. They live out their words of instruction that they share with those around them, even if it's not perfectly. Quality spiritual mentors can even use their own failures and their own faults to teach lessons about God's love, about God's mercy, and about God's grace. Over the years that I have been coming to this church, I have come to develop relationships with many of the men in this church. I have heard about the struggles that you have had in your own families, issues with health problems among your own family members, issues that you've had in trying to do your best to raise your children. But in that time, I've had the opportunity to watch and observe and listen to the way that you go to the Lord for strength. And I want to thank you for that example that you have set in the times of adversity. It has been wonderful to see this church rally around one another in times of need. And one of the lessons that we learn from the life of King Uzziah is that the Christian life is never meant to be walked alone. Anybody can sit at home and watch a live stream on YouTube. You can watch and you can listen to podcasts all day. But true Christian fellowship is designed for us to be together. And I don't know which side of the equation that you're on this morning. Perhaps you're on the side where you are in need of a spiritual mentor. You are in need of someone to help you develop a well-worn path to the Lord that we talked about. Perhaps you need someone to walk alongside you, that you need to open the door of your sin, let someone in so that they can hold you accountable to living a life that honors God as you battle in a specific area. Do not wait. Or maybe it's time for you to recognize that you are in a place of becoming a spiritual mentor to someone else who is in need. Is there someone that could benefit from your wisdom and encouragement as they seek God? I see your vacation Bible school is coming up soon. That's an opportunity to be a spiritual mentor to young people. Sunday school is an opportunity to be a spiritual mentor to a young person. A Bible study is a great place to get connected with other people and to build that relationship with the opportunity to become a spiritual mentor to someone else. And perhaps God is going to use you in a similar way that he used Zechariah to instruct King Uzziah. Now, I wish that we could just call it a day here. I wish that we could all leave here thinking about creating a well-worn path to the Lord, asking the Holy Spirit to help us in that area where we struggle. I wish we could leave here thinking about spiritual mentorship and what we can do to rally behind others or invite someone else in to help us. But unfortunately, we now turn our attention to King Uzziah's downfall. In verse 16, it says, "But when he was strong, he grew proud to his destruction." And Uzziah's downfall ended up being by one of the biggest enemies that every single one of us faces. I say at my men's Bible study that I lead every Thursday night that the greatest obstacle to my spiritual growth is myself. After all the success that Uzziah had during his time as king, he lost sight of where his success came from. And it led him down a path of destruction. It led him down a path from which there would be no return, unfortunately. And I want you to just stop and consider for a moment how much time and energy it put to have these military and agricultural advancements. All the time and the energy that it took to carry out these military campaigns against the Philistines and the Ammonites and the Arabians. And it is heartbreaking to see how quickly all of that can just be undone. It's a reminder to us how every decision is important, how careful we need to be, and how we need to seek the wisdom of the Lord with the decisions that we make, and how quickly we can just bring downfall to our lives if we are not careful with our actions. The right to perform sacrifices in the temple was reserved for the priests, the descendants of Aaron from the tribe of Levi. There's this very ugly incident. I would encourage you to go back to read, not right now, in Numbers chapter 16, where someone named Korah tries to usurp the high priest's authority, and things did not end well for Korah. We'll just put it that way. But Uzziah, filled with pride, enters the temple to burn the incense at the altar, something that he was forbidden to do. And just like Korah, Uzziah attempts to usurp the role of the priest and enter the holy place. And Uzziah had lost sight of the fact that genuine worship always begins with obedience to God's commands. Let me say that again. Genuine worship always begins with obedience to God's commands. And as this is happening, Azariah, who's the high priest, and 80 courageous priests follow King Uzziah into the temple, and they try to stop him from making a gigantic mistake. In verse 18, it shows their attempt. They say, "It is not for you, Uzziah, to burn incense to the Lord, but for the priests, the sons of Aaron, who have consecrated to burn incense. Go out of the sanctuary, for you have done wrong. It will bring you no honor from the Lord God." And filled with anger against the rebuke by the high priest and those who joined him, Uzziah continues to move forward. And we know the rest. We see that leprosy breaks out on his forehead. There's a very chaotic scene as Uzziah realizes what's going on and he is ushered out of the temple. And unfortunately, that's the end for King Uzziah. 2 Chronicles 26, this is what's said about him. He lived as a leper for the rest of his life. Separated. Excluded from the house of the Lord. His son Jotham is given his father's place, and I wish there was a happier ending for King Uzziah, but there just isn't. And listen, we've looked at many of the lessons from the life of King Uzziah, like creating a well-worn path and spiritual mentorship, but there are several other things that I want us to draw our attention to now. The first is we need to be reminded of the fact that pride is at the heart of all sin. It was Satan's own pride, trying to exalt himself higher than God, that led him to being cast out. It was Eve's pride that Satan appealed to in Genesis chapter 3, verse 5, where he says, "For God knows that when you eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." All sin, at its core, expresses the same attitude. I know better than God. I do not need to follow his ways. I do not need to submit to his authority. Proverbs 16:18 says this. It says, "Pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall." Now listen, clearly there is distance between our culture and time and the culture and time of Uzziah, and it makes it hard for us to recognize because we are not under the sacrificial system of Uzziah's day. But every single one of us knows that prideful disobedience can cause serious harm to one's life today. Men particularly, this is an area where we struggle. Our pride can get in the way and wreak havoc in so many places. In our relationship with our wives, in our relationship with our children, in our workplaces. Pride is so insidious that it can work its way into the church and cause problems here, derailing ministry of sharing the gospel with the community and building one another up. How do I know this? I know this because I have seen it happen in my own life, in every one of those areas that I just mentioned. So all of us need to be on guard and not letting pride gain a foothold in our heart. So what is the answer? What is the answer to dealing with our pride? Well, I need you to take you back again to 2 Chronicles 26. Uzziah set himself to seek God. And I firmly believe that if we devote ourselves to the study and the obedience to God's word, we will become less prideful. The word of God confronts our prideful and self-reliant natures and drives us to recognize our need for a savior. And that savior is Jesus. But another lesson learned from the life of King Uzziah is another issue that strikes to the heart that all of us battle with, but especially we see it in the lives of men. It is an unwillingness or a heart that is closed off to receiving correction. In one of the most embarrassing moments of my life in doing home improvement projects for the past 25 years, I was doing some serious work in the bathroom of our home. Now, we recently just built a new bathroom, but for over 20 years, we had one bathroom. We figured that now that there's 9 people living in our home, we should probably open things up and have a second place for people to use the bathroom. But if you have one bathroom, and you're going to do work on that bathroom, as soon as you start that work, the clock is ticking. If you want to change the toilet in a place where there's one bath, it's like a NASCAR pit crew tire change. The clock is ticking. Once that last flush goes, you need to swap that thing out as fast as you can. But I had just finished ripping out the shower walls, and I had changed that valve that's in the wall that changes from the tub up to the shower. You divert the water in either direction. And this was before the wonders of PEX piping. Where was PEX when I was doing this job? Where now you can just crimp things and call it a day. I had to solder the joints with the actual torch. And I thought I had done a pretty good job. I didn't see any leaks as I tried to get some water out of it into a bucket. So I finished putting the walls in place. And I was about to put the little 6-inch cover back into the wall and put the handle on. And I said, let me just check this one more time. And of course, there was a leak. My wife heard my frustration from the other room. And I showed her the leak as well. Now, we had somewhere that we had to be in about 20 minutes. And I thought to myself, and even said these words out loud, let me just put the torch on low and stick it into the 6-inch hole to heat the joint up that's leaking, and I'll just add a little solder, and it'll be done in a few minutes, no problem. Doesn't that just sound crazy to you right now? It was at this point that my wife said, I don't think that's a good idea. And we're leaving in 20 minutes. So of course, as soon as she left the room, I got to work. And I cannot believe that I'm even saying this to now, but I shoved that torch into the wall to heat up the joint where the pipe was leaking. Now the rest of the story isn't really that exciting. It just involves the 2x4 near the valve almost catching on fire and me shooting the fire extinguisher into the wall. It just involves me cutting a hole of sheetrock on the opposite wall of the valve and at one point actually hitting my wife with the contents of the fire extinguisher. And by the way, we have no shower and we're leaving in 10 minutes. King Uzziah entered the temple and was about to do something disastrous, even more disastrous than my torch in the wall stupidity. The priests who tried to stop them put themselves in harm's way. The king could have had them put to death. But the big issue here is, like me, King Uzziah refused to listen to wise, godly counsel. He refused to listen to those who were doing everything in their power to stop him from making a very unwise decision. So men, I want to ask you this morning, how willing are you to listen to the godly counsel of others? When confronted by a brother or sister in Christ, are you willing to listen, or does pride take over and you plow ahead regardless of the consequences? Man, I want to encourage you, the next time that you are confronted by a brother or sister in Christ, pause. Take the time to pray and consider what it is that these individuals are saying to you. The best course of action may still be the one that you're traveling on, but at the very least, stop and listen. My wife is an amazing fountain of godly wisdom, and I appreciate her so much. She has taught me so much in our 24 years of marriage, and definitely a lot on the day that I blasted her with the fire extinguisher. But she is a woman of tremendous patience and strength. Men, let us not have our arrogance and pride get in the way of listening to godly counsel. Young men, listen to the wisdom of others. They have lived longer than you. They have had the opportunity to learn from their mistakes, and they have gained tremendous wisdom over the years. Humble yourself, young men, and realize that you do not have all the answers. Also realize that your parents' correction is coming from a place of love and concern, even at times if it's yelled at you. Listen to them and consider what it is that they are saying to you. But there is so much to learn from the life of King Uzziah. And my prayer is that as we continue to read the Word of God, that we will learn from those who have gone before us, especially books like 2 Chronicles. We can learn so much from these kings as we read what they did and did not do well. And fathers, I hope that today is a great day for you. I hope that it is a day that you were honored by your children and your family. I hope that it is a day where you get to eat a fantastic meal. But I also hope today, dads, it is a day of self-reflection. A time for you to consider how you are leading your family. It's a time for you to reflect on your relationship with God. I want to encourage you one more time to set yourself, like the young King Uzziah, to seek the Lord. I want to encourage you to surround yourself with the counsel of other godly men. Do not go alone. And I want to encourage you to pray for the power of the Holy Spirit to help keep your pride from getting in the way of your relationship with others. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much again for the power of your word. And Lord, I thank you for the lessons that we learn from the life of King Uzziah. Lord, we ask that you would help us. Lord, we cannot do it on our own. We cannot create that well-worn path to you without your help. Lord, help us to do everything that we can on our end, but Lord, we beg you for your help through the power of your Spirit to encourage us and challenge us to do what we can to be able to create that well-worn path. Lord, I thank you so much for those who have a desire to disciple others. We have called to do that. I pray for those who are here today who are in need of spiritual mentorship, that they would reach out, that they would ask for help, that they would lay their pride aside, that they would come to you, but that you would illuminate a path to a spiritual mentor. Lord, for those who feel like they are out of the game and they have nothing to offer, Lord, that they are just further along in years, Lord, I ask that you would help them to see how valuable their wisdom is, and how they can be a spiritual mentor to someone else. Lord, we ask that you would make those connections here in this church and out of this church. Lord, I ask that you would help us to humble ourselves before you, to not, like King Uzziah, forge ahead in our pride, but we would listen to the godly counsel of others. And Lord, I pray for the fathers who are here today. I pray for the young men of this church as well, that you would help us to be the men that you have called us to be, the leaders of our families that you have called us to be, that you would help us in our struggles, that you would help us to recognize our need for your Savior, your Son Jesus, Lord, that we would encourage each other in your direction. We just pray these things in your name. Amen.